Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Welcome once again to my show, People of God, Prophetic Atmosphere. Thank you for joining me this evening, amen, for just another moment in the face of God and just another moment at the Master's table, amen, preparing our hearts and our minds, amen, and our lives, basically, so that we all can fulfill our kingdom destiny and assignment, amen, and to recognize that God has given us prophetic voices that we can speak into our atmosphere according to his will and with his word, amen. It can never be about what you want and what you desire. It must always be about his word and what he desires, amen. And then when you begin to understand that, amen, the power and the authority that is on the inside of you and know his word, then when you begin to speak into your atmosphere, you will begin to watch things change. You will begin to see things manifest. You will begin to birth out God's purpose, his designs, his heart's desires, his purpose, his attributes, amen, for the world, and all of it to bring the kingdom assignment, that you will fulfill not only your kingdom assignment, but that you will set others on fire, amen, so that they too could fulfill their kingdom assignment in the earth. Glory to God. But before I get into this word tonight, which is in the book of John, chapter 9, starting at the first verse, but before we get into the word, as I said once again, let us, or I should say let me, go ahead and give you the announcements for this evening. Amen. Follow the announcements, prayer, and then immediately the word of God. Amen. So letting you all know, once again, for those of you who have been following us for quite some time, and those of you who are even new, amen, to our ministry, we want to invite you to our website, www.ctkr.org, amen, and letting you know that these broadcasts are hosted live, amen, and we do have archives as well. But if you want to see our Bible study night, we have Bible study every Tuesday at 7 p.m. with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, and that is known as Kingdom Lifestyle. That's 7 p.m. every Tuesday, amen, Kingdom Lifestyle. Every Thursday is myself. I'm your host, Prophetess McQueen, and you can see me every Thursday at 7 p.m. for Prophetic Atmosphere. Amen. And then live every Saturday at 9:30 and Sunday at 8:30, you can see our church live in action, praise and worship, the music, amen, the intercessory prayer going forth, and the word of God being delivered by my husband, Apostle McQueen. That's every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday at 7, excuse me, Sunday at 8:30. 8:30 a.m. And that is our church, Kingdom Lifestyles, or King, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, amen, which is also wrapped in the Kingdom Lifestyles, the prophetic atmosphere. It all falls under the umbrella, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, our church, our home church, amen. And speaking of that, if you are in the Florida area, especially Cocoa area, we invite you personally to come show up right here at our location, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. That's Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. The address once again is 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. Amen. In Cocoa, Florida. We would love to see your face in the place. I promise you that if you have in your heart, amen, to see God move, come to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. You will not be disappointed. Powerful word, powerful, exciting praise and worship, amen, intercessory prayer. God is in the house, and the needs that you have, he will definitely make sure, amen, that he meets them. All you have to do is just put a little faith to it. Amen? Amen. And finally, just wanted to let you know, please become a prayer partner, vision partner, amen, with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Go to our website once again, www.ctkr.org. For many of you who know that we have churches and ministries that are overseas, that God has given us the grace, amen, the grace to cover, amen, overseas. They also need your prayers and financial support as well. Amen. Helping them to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. And for those of you who have been following us and, you know, like you're saying, well, Prophets McQueen, I can't get to you. I'd love to be in your church, but I live in another state. Well, have no fear. We have media. Go to our media page. Amen. Right up there, located at the top of our website, click on the media tab and you will see all of us live, all our broadcasts current as well as our archive broadcasts as well. Amen. Glory to God. Those are the quick announcements for this evening. Oh, also, people of God, I want to let you know, Women of Prophetic Destiny will be hosting, amen, right here, third week of September, which will be September 19th. Amen. I want you to come and join me. I'm personally inviting you, amen, to join me for that night for Women of Prophetic Destiny, our third weekend of power, amen, praise and purpose. Amen. Love to see you right here. And that's 7 p.m. nightly. That'll be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Amen. Glory to God. And also, we have some more exciting information that's coming up real soon. Please keep yourself posted. Be prepared for it. Definitely want you to join us, amen, as we begin to go further in the things of the kingdom. Glory to God. And finally, go to our Facebook page. Just like us there, Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD, or find me under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Let us know how the ministry is blessing your life. Let us know how God, what God is doing in your life. And even if you just need someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, again, www.ctkr.org. Amen. Let us know what you need us to pray for, and someone will definitely contact you with as soon as at our earliest convenience. Amen. Glory to God. Those are the announcements, people of God. Now let us prepare our hearts this evening for prayer, and then immediately following prayer, turn your Bibles with me to the book of John, chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, I praise you, I bless you, I glorify your name. There is nobody like you, God. There's nobody like our King, and there's nobody like our Lord. We, your people, come and we just lift up our hands and we worship you for all that you have done. God, you are mighty, you are great, you are magnificent, and you are wonderful. And everything that we have and everything that we want to pursue in life, God, we give your name glory and honor and praise. Amen. We thank you for it now in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I'm asking, I decrease, you increase through me. Speak through these lips of clay. God, speak your words that your people need to hear in Jesus' name. Father, even now I ask that you would just begin to send your presence, your power, God, as the word of God begins to come forth, that it would just begin to enlighten the lives of your people. God, let this word begin to shift, shake, and challenge for change, changing into purpose, change for your kingdom assignment, change that they will never be the same again. God, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you for all that you have done. And we lift your name up in Jesus' name. We pray, amen and amen again. Glory to God. Amen. Well, people of God, once again, please put your turn with me in the book of John chapter 9. Amen. The book of John chapter 9. Amen. While I get a couple of items here preparing to deliver this word. Amen. Book of John chapter 9. I'm going to be reading out of a couple of translations on this evening, amen, all for our understanding and all for us to fully hear the heart of God, to understand his purpose, amen, and that we shall fulfill and be obedient to his word. Glory. Book of John, chapter 9, starting at the first verse. I'm reading out the New King James, and it reads, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, Is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like the man. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, How were your eyes opened? He answered and said, A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I'm just going to stop right there, amen, as we begin to delve more into, amen, the word of God. So here we have, glory to God, that Jesus passed by, saw a man who was blind from birth. Disciples said, okay, we assume that he sinned. They did. What was interesting to me is they didn't even think about that this was an opportunity for a miracle, that this was an opportunity for ministry. The first thing they said was, well, who sinned? Obviously, he did something wrong for him to be in that situation. And it's so interesting, people of God, that we tend to think almost in the same manner now as the disciples or the apostles did while they were walking with him. And the other interesting thing was he didn't call them apostles. He called them disciples, which means that they were being disciplined into the ways of Christ, which also means that they were in a learning mode. This was a time of learning and teaching. So he says to them, or they say to him, hey, Jesus, obviously somebody sinned up in here, and this is why he's going through what he's going through. But Jesus answered and said unto them, No one sinned. No one actually sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now, this is what struck me so profoundly, people of God, is because when we see people going through, when we see people going through difficulty and challenges, we sometimes, we as the body of Christ, are quick to blame the person for some issue in their life that caused what's going on with them to happen. In other words, we'll say something like, "Well, you know, they was living that sinful life, or they were, you know, mixed up in some things that they shouldn't have been mixed up in. So therefore, you know, God don't like ugly. And since he don't like ugly, you know, the Bible says," and then we're quick to run some scriptures down to people, "and the Bible says, you know, you reap what you sow." Reap what you sow. And I know, and then we get people who want to start trying to prophesy, talking about they saw it some time ago, and then they tried to intercede or whatever the case may be, and now the individual is suffering and going through. And then not only sometimes do we blame the individual, but we tend to also blame the people that are attached to the individual, or blame situations and circumstances that are going on in their lives. But here, Jesus just said to them, neither. It has nothing to do with their past. It has nothing to do with what happened yesterday. It has nothing to do with even their current situation. But what this purpose, all this is that for the kingdom, or for the works of God to be revealed in him. Okay, let's flip it to the Message Bible. Same verse. In verse 3, Jesus said, "You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause-effect here. Human nature, just human beings in general, if this happened, the reason why we have the effect, because we have to look for the cause of it. If this is the cause, then we'll understand the effect. If you did this, then this will happen. If you do this, then this will happen." And we try to place blame upon people. Now, I'm not saying if you are out there blatantly sinning, okay, blatantly sinning, those things will catch up with you. You cannot live a hellish lifestyle and expect God is just going to bless no matter what, and God's just going to overlook no matter what. There's going to be some things. There comes a time when the grace is up and the judgment comes. But we're not talking about that today. What I'm talking about this evening is for those of us who tend, who God has positioned to be set up for the greatest manifestation of his glory that we have ever seen. And the thing I love about God is that whatever God does is really just not just for you. Yes, you are a recipient of it, but the whole thing is that whatever he does, he always makes sure that he gets the utmost glory out of it. In other words, God always makes sure that there are people that are around you, amen, that pretty much counted you out, that pretty much have spoken death over you, that have pretty much claimed that you will never rise from the ashes of the pit that you are in. Those same people, God always manages that when he does what he does, which is always marvelous in our eyes, when he does what he does, he makes sure that he parades you right there in front of the naysayers, right there in front of the haters, right there in front of the people who had nothing good to say about you. But even while he's parading you in front of all of those, he parades you in front of those who have been asking and seeking God for the exact same miracle that you have been asking. And then they say, "God, if you could do it for them, you can do it for me." And he gives hope, and he increases the faith level. But at the same time, he shuts the mouths of the naysayers and the haters and the destroyers. Because let's face it, people of God, the Bible says he prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. And he does prepare the table, but we can't ask God to kill off every enemy so that when it's time for us to be, when he parades us for his glory in front of them, there's nobody there to sit at the table because we didn't ask them all to be killed. Well, first off, no cause, no effect, all for the glory of God. In other words, God was like, "I'm ready to do a miracle up here that's going to astound everybody in this place." And usually people got, all it takes is one, just one. Are you that one? What's ultimately interesting here is that this was a teaching moment. See, if God has allowed you to see his hand moving upon in the lives of other people, whether it's through you or whether it's in your church or wherever you may be, if God has used you to as a conduit to work a miracle in somebody's life or be one that met a need, amen, in someone's life, don't take that lightly, but always recognize it's never, never, never for your glory. It's always for his glory. It's always for his purpose, not so that your name can be shouted at the mountaintop, but that his name can be glorified in the earth. That's what he does it for his glory. In verse 3 of the same chapter of John 9, in the Message Bible, as I stated before, he said, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame, and there is no such cause and effect here. Look instead for what God can do. Look instead at what God can do. Thank you, Jesus. Look instead in your life, and we all have some mountains. We all have some valleys. We all have some caves. We all have some strongholds. We all have some challenges that we are dealing with in this life. And it's something that you have been praying and asking God for. You've been praying and laboring over it. You've fasted over it. You've heard the word over it. You've shouted over it. You've cried over it. You've did it all. We've rolled. We've spat. We've been greased down with the anointed oil. We have had everybody, every prophet, every apostle, every man and woman of God that we could find prophesy over us concerning these situations. Yet they still remain. But today, I don't care how much time has passed. And don't allow the enemy to make you feel as though God has forgotten what he promised you. Because if he said it and he sent the word out of two or three witnesses, it said, let every word be established. His word shall be established. It's all about due season and timing. You just have to be able to endure the process. You just have to be able to hold on. You just have to be able to gain and glean the lessons that you are learning through the process, the testing, the trials, the situations, the circumstances. You just got to hold on and recognize and understand that this is the situation that only God can handle. I know they told you all you needed was the prophet to come, and you done gave up all your money and, money you didn't have, and begging the Lord, and you done fasted, and you done cried, and even God has answered you. Yes, he has answered you in it. And even for some of us, he's answered it, but it looks like it done got worse. It looks like the dream has died. It looks as though it's never going to change. It does, in fact, the situation is sitting up here deteriorating right before my eyes. However, he says, the works of God to be revealed in him. People of God. But that the works of God should be revealed in him. So that the work of God should be revealed in him. So that the work of God shall be revealed in the situation. So that the work of God can be revealed in your family. So that the work of God can be revealed in your ministry. So that the work of God can be revealed in your spouse, your child. So that the work of God can even be revealed in you. Oh, thank you. John 11 and 4, when Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. So, in other words, if the situation is crumbling in your hand, I don't care if it's dust that's being blown away by the wind, know this. If God has given you a word or an answer on it, you must understand that it's only for him, the Son of God, that Jesus may be glorified in it, because all he has to do is look at it, wave his hand over it, breathe upon it, and the very thing that you were sitting up here ready to toss in the grave, you done dug it 6 feet deep, you were sprinkling it ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The moment that the dust was beginning to fall, God then decided to speak a word over and say, live. Can these dry bones live? Only you know, Lord. When he said live, then it becomes it comes to life. Then the miracle happens. Then the manifestation happens. Then the glory of God is revealed. Then the glory of God is revealed. One more time. Then the glory of God is revealed, so that all may worship him. Remember, I said it's not just for your enemies and your haters. And this is one thing I want to make clear, and this is Prophetess Crystal talking. We need to quit talking about the haters and those who don't like us. So what? If they didn't like Jesus, they're not going to like you. It comes with the territory, okay? Let's get that settled right now. It comes with the territory. If nobody is hating on you, then I need to even ask questions about your salvation. It's a part of the territory. They're going to hate you. They're going to lie on you. They did it to Jesus. They're going to try to crucify you. They're going to tear your name up. They're going to try to scandalize you. They're going to talk about nobody needs to go to your church. Nobody needs to listen to you. You're too deep. You're too holy. You're too sanctified. That comes with the territory. Friends will leave you. Family will leave you. You'll lose some things. It comes with the territory. Now, we got that settled. Now, let's move past that. It comes with, so quit crying about it. Quit crying about who don't like you. Quit crying about who can't stand you. Quit crying about how come they won't speak to me. Who cares? It comes with the territory. That's a part of being saved. That's a part of being come out from amongst them and be ye separated. That's a part of it. But do know this. That when God begins to blow upon you and begin to blow upon the works that he has given you to do, he'll make sure the haters are there. He'll make sure the naysayers are there. He'll make sure the non-supporters are there. Oh, he'll make sure they're all there in the circle. But at the same time, he'll make sure that those who gave you words of encouragement will be there. He'll make sure that his word will be revealed throughout the earth. He'll also make sure, as I said earlier when we just opened up this broadcast, that he'll also make sure that those who have been asking God for the exact same thing, those who have been going through the exact same challenges that you have gone through, he wants to make sure that they see his Son be glorified. He wants to make sure that his name is lifted up so that when they see you come out, they will automatically know my turn is next. They will automatically know God has not forgotten about me. They will automatically know this is not too hard for him after all. It gives them hope. It gives them encouragement. It gives them strength. It increases their faith. So you can't get stagnant. You can't get depressed. You can't get, I don't understand. It ain't going to happen. When's my time? When's my season? It's happening for everybody else but me. Child of God, God has a set time for every miracle. He has a set time for every deliverance. He has a set time, amen, for your coming out of the cave. He has a set time for your destiny to be birthed. He has a set time for you to be revealed before others. And that's one of the things I couldn't understand when the mothers used to say, there's a set timing for you. I didn't want to wait for the set timing. I felt in my flesh that the set timing was now. If I went through a week of challenges, that was enough for me. But God knows each and every one of our personal makeups. He knows what type of pressure and how much pressure to add to each and every one of us to make sure that that hard metal, that dross that is in our lives, those that fallow ground, those hard places that are in our hearts and in our minds, stubborn, won't change for nobody, no matter how much, how many times people try to talk to us, we ain't moving, we ain't budging, because this is how I feel and this is how I think, and I'm going to hold on to this because you don't know my last name, I'm from this generation, and that, and so on and so forth, I'm not moving. And then God says, okay, all right, I tried to do it the nice way, but since I already knew you was going to have to be one of those who had to hit the bottom, so I'm going to start yanking the curtain. I'm starting to pull on the rug. I'm starting to shut the doors. I'm starting to make sure that all those people you were connected to begin to all of a sudden become distant, and they don't have time for you, and you can't get them on the phone, and every time you try to meet with them, they can't seem to make it to those meeting places. He wants to make sure all of a sudden things start feeling like the walls start closing in on you. But it's not so much for your demise, people of God. It's so that he can get you to a place where you will hear his voice, where he can get you to a place where you're no longer concerned about what people think about you, where he can get you to a place when you recognize that, you know what, God, if it's not done, it's because it's your will that it ain't done. That he can get you to a place to say, not my will, but thy will be done. And you know what, people of God? He always knows just the right button to press, just the right door to close, just the right circle of friends to leave us alone. He knows how to get our attention. Start having our children act a little bit more crazier than normal. Have our spouse act a little bit off, a little bit more than normal. Some of us, our bodies start acting up, and we're trying to rebuke everything that come along. Get up off of me, sickness. And then it's like, no, I'm trying to get your attention because I have something for you to do. And he said it here in John 4:34. He said, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. But that the works of God should be revealed in him. Verse 4 of chapter 9, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. I must work the work. Are you working his work? Is your food to do the will of him who sent you? Is your purpose being fulfilled? And when I say your purpose, there's your purpose and his purpose for you. Is your purpose being divinely fulfilled, or is it his purpose that's being divinely fulfilled? Well, you know, I've been trying to get this done. You know, I've been trying to set things up for myself, and, you know, I just need to let people know that I'm here. If God chooses to hide you, it don't make a difference how many people's faces you shout in front of. He'll make sure that they don't see you. He'll make sure they see the person behind you. If that's not his design and his will, if God knows that what he has called you to do and what you're trying to do is going to take you far away from him, he will make sure that that purpose, your purpose, you'll become frustrated in it. See, these are the things that people don't want to tell you. They want to tell you your best time is now. They want to tell you that this is the day that you should be alive, and this, which we are alive, excuse me. What I'm trying to say is this is the day that, you know, you need to make this the best you that you can and get all you can while you can, and because you need to be number one no matter what. And all this while you're striving and stressing and frustrated and angry and wondering why things are not coming together, you have to back up and say, God, am I really doing your will here? Am I really seeking after the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, or am I seeking after fulfilling my own will, my own righteousness, and calling it the kingdom? It's a kingdom, all right, but it's not the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of I, the kingdom of self, the kingdom of my own fulfillment, my purposes, my design, my will, my flesh. So, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And that word night is talking about we're coming to a place where Jesus is coming back and there will be no more work, where the body of Christ, those who are called, who are his, shall be caught up to meet him in the air. That ain't going to be the time to try to run into the church house talking about I'm here now. As you can see, people of God, God is taking folks up out of here, the saved as well as the unsaved. I don't care how often people talk about God. I don't care how if they got God in their mouth on every stamp. I don't care every conversation that is, you know, when they put the microphone in their face, they always, well, you know, this is our best day. If they have not given Jesus Christ or if they have not allowed Jesus Christ to become their Lord and their Savior, we don't care how nice they are, how great. And please hear me. I'm not being hard or heartless because there are people that love these people. You know, her daughter, speaking of like, I'm just thinking about Joan Rivers right now, just off the top of my head. But there's others who have done good works in the earth. They have done excellent works in the earth. But if Jesus was not the center of it, if they did not ask him to come into their hearts and into their lives and that they will live for him, then everything that they have done is null and void. It means nothing. So don't get caught up in my work. I work, I work. Yes, we're working, but we have to make sure that we're working with a purpose. And that purpose is we got to find out what it is that God has called us to do. You have to find out what it is that God has called you to do. I got to find out what God has called me to do. And then I have to get in that place and work that work. Not only to go through my process, but that not only to become saved and go through my process, but as I'm going through my process and coming out on the other side of it, that I am constantly making sure that I'm telling somebody else about Jesus, that I'm constantly making sure that I'm lifting his name up in the earth, that I'm constantly making sure that his name is being glorified every chance that I have, every place that I go, that his name is being magnified in the earth, and that signs and wonders are following they that believe. Signs and wonders shall follow you, those that believe. Everything is not in the church house. He wants us to begin to deal with those who are outside of our church house. But we have got to get into a place where we are willing to say, God, for you I live, for God, for you I die. Many of us aren't ready and prepared to say that because we're still too attached to what we have. We're still too attached to trying to get the next. I need to get this car right here. Then I know I'm ready. I'm not quite ready to go yet because I need to get this four bedroom house with two baths or three baths. I'm just not ready. I'm still trying to find my Boaz. Listen. Don't get caught up and believe me, people of God. I'm not against nobody being with someone. You know, God has created us to be people that love companionship. If he chooses you to be, because there's people I know that are single and they love it. God has put it in them. They don't have no desire to get married. They're not gay or anything like that. They're just like, listen, I'm living the full life that God has called me to live, and I'm happy about it. If he brings somebody into my life, fine, but they don't even have a desire for it. They just want to fulfill his mission. But then there's some of us, every chance we get, we talking about when the next person's coming around the corner. When am I going to find mine? When is it my time? When am I going to be married? I just don't want to be alone. And then we talk about And I'm just going to put, I'm going to hang my hat here for just about 20 seconds, people of God, and then I'm moving on. Women of God, be careful mixing in with these female groups. I'm going to say that. I'm going to say it like that. Be careful who we amen on the Facebook and their belief systems when it comes to dealing with men. Someone made a statement very clearly that can nobody handle me? No man can handle me. He's got to be specially designed, a special designed man of God. I just can't marry anybody because I have being with a certain mantle that I have on my life. You know, they got to be able to handle the ups and the downs and the swings and the ins and the outs. And then a gentleman began to challenge her, a fully married man. He said, listen, I'm married to a person that has the same mantle that you have, and yet they are not operating in all this craziness. Listen, whatever mantle God has given you does not give you the right to be high up, as we say, we're used by God, but then when we come down, we're nasty, we're vile, we're operating in all of our fleshly emotions. Nowhere in the Bible did you see, you saw people being challenged, and at the time when they were walking in their flesh, God made sure that he challenged that mess right up out of their lives to the point where they had to repent on it. But we as women, yes, we're emotional creatures. God created us that way. But we have to make sure, women of God, that we keep those emotions that are not godly in check and out on the cross and nailed to it under the blood. Does not give us, well, you know, PMS and all of that, you know, and I just, whew, I'm not saying that women don't go through certain emotional challenges. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not going into those who are being physically and emotionally abused. I'm not even addressing that at all. I'm just talking about the everyday living. If he's placed you with the right individual, and some of us, God did place us with the right individual, but we didn't want to humble ourselves or become submissive to who he's placed us to, because we were trying to live our own life under the guise of I'm the anointed apostle, I'm the anointed prophet or prophetess, I'm the anointed pastor, teacher, evangelist. I'm so anointed, I can't, you know, you can't check me. You better be careful. If God has given you that man or that woman, when it comes to marriage, this is what I'm talking, I'm only talking about marriage now, then we are both responsible to each other to make sure that we keep ourselves in check at all times. I can't go off, even if I'm feeling crazy that day. I don't have a right in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost in me checks me and say, you know what? This ain't me. Get yourself together. Don't try to blame it all and then put it under the guise of this is part of the mantle's description. The devil is a lie. Put that junk under the blood. That's you acting crazy. That's you going all off on the deep end. Pull your emotions together. Pull yourself together. Go to God. Rebuke and be like, Lord, help me right now, right up and through here. I know this ain't of you. What I'm feeling is not of you. Let me pull myself in together and go to the throne. And as you mature, as we mature in him, in his word, then we should always be sweet. We should always be kind. I'm not saying we don't have off days. Don't get me wrong. There's days, you know, you don't always have it. You're not always on your A game. I get that. I'm not making any excuses for it. But however, we can't give carte blanche. And I see too many women of God giving carte blanche to these foul, crazy emotions and talking about it. It's just the anointing on my life. Ooh, the devil's a lie. I was like, I can't get with that. I can't agree to that when it's not. Women of God, keep yourself in check. Even when you do fly off, don't be repent. Get it right. Then when the test comes around again, ask God to begin to speak to you so you can recognize the tricks, where you can recognize the triggers. Amen? And I guarantee when you start doing that, things will start flowing a lot better in your personal life, in your emotional life, amen, in your work life. Things will start going a lot better. We can't use the anointing as an excuse to be foul and crazy, even behind the scenes. He said, verse 4 in chapter 9, he said, listen, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. And as I said before, Jesus said, listen, my food, my will, my purpose, my desire, everything that's within me is to do the work or to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You are called, I am called to finish his work in the earth. Get this now. You're called more than to just sit on the pews. You're called to do more than just make sure that you run the auxiliaries. You're called to do more than just that. You're called to complete his work. But it is our job, my job, your job, to find out what it is that God has called us to do. For some of us, we already know what he's called us to do. But we don't like what he's called us to do. So we think that he's going to change his mind if we do something else. Mm-mm. Mine hasn't changed. Well, he's blessing me, so therefore he must have changed his mind. No, he hasn't changed his mind. It's just this is just something that you can do. You're anointed to do it because he's given that to you, but it doesn't mean that his mind has been changed. He's still going to hold you accountable for what he's called you to originally do. In verse John chapter 5 and 19 says this, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. But whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So we cannot say that we are his and his alone and we don't do what he does. You don't become saved just so that you can escape hell. And it's like, whoo, I passed that test. Now I can just sit back and do nothing. No. He's called us to minister the gospel. He's called us all to be ambassadors. Yes, you are called also to be ambassadors in the earth, to minister, to show love, to show care, to show concern, whether that's to birth a business, whether that's to get that degree so he can set you up in a place where, you know, you can begin to teach others, where he designs you to work with other culture, so because he's going to send you across seas to minister his word, or however, somewhere you can just begin to touch somebody else's life besides your own. Maybe he's sending you to the hurting, the broken, the bruised, which we are called to do that. The Bible does say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, who anointed me to preach the gospel. We keep trying to put those scriptures on people who have callings, but in reality, he's called all of us to do. Anyone who has said yes to him and he's living on the inside of you, we are all called to that commission. Oh, you thought it was just for the apostles and the fivefold. That, you know, and I thought it too for many years. I was like, oh, he's calling the leaders. I ain't got to worry about that because they ain't got nothing to do with me. I was wrong. He said, if my spirit is living on the inside of you, then I have called you to do thus and so in my name. Now, some of us will be opening up churches, and some of us will be doing great, mighty works. But you know what? If all he's giving you is your household and the neighborhood or the people across the street in the neighborhood or your area, wherever you are, that's still being preaching the gospel, still showing love, still showing his goodness in the earth. Ministry is more than just preaching. I know we think that. Ministry is more than just showing up on Sunday, having a good time, and making sure you shout. If I don't get my shout, then we ain't have no church. That's not true. Ministry is when lives are being affected by Jesus Christ, by his name being preached. Lives are being changed. We must work the work. He said in John 17:4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. I hear people say all the time, Lord, I'm ready to go. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, come. I'm ready, God. This old evil world, this world is so evil and it ain't getting any better. But he's given you his spirit. His spirit lives on the inside of you. So in other words, you got to use what he has given you. Use the authority that he has given you. Begin to open up your mouth and begin to speak. Begin to ask him what it is, what changes he wants you to bring. What am I supposed to fulfill while I am here? And if you ask him, he will begin to show you. And when he shows you, then you got to get to work. And then after you have completed that assignment or assignments or destiny, then you can say, well, I glorified you in the earth. I finished what you called me to do. I'm ready to go home. Many people are asking to go home, and they haven't even started out the gate. Ooh, this world is so evil. Oh, I can't take it. Every time you look, something crazy is happening. Are you praying, child of God? Are you moving in the authority that he's given you? Or are you sitting back here like the world and shaking in your boots? I'll just be glad when Jesus, this world is mean and crazy. Let me help you. It's not going to get any better. Because he is coming back. And the stage has already been set. So it's our job. And yes, as the stage has been set for his coming, the enemy knows he's coming as well. Don't know when, but he's stepping up his game. So this isn't the time for the church. And many of us have gotten distracted we've gotten distracted. We've gotten put off. We've gotten caught up in our own little circles. We've kind of gotten caught up in our own hype for some of us. We got our own friends. Everybody's saying yes to us. And, you know, anything we touch, it's yes. And anything we do, it's yes. And can't nobody pull my coattail because I'm right on the cutting edge of what the Holy Ghost is saying. And he doesn't move until I speak. What? Okay. Right there, you done stepped off in the deep end. Right there, I know that you don't have accountability behind you. Because everybody knows that we see in part, speaking of the prophetic, we see in part and we prophesy in part. If every time I see you and you talking about the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the show me, the show me, the show me, I got to step back off of you. Because I know that you have not been held in accountability. You've been out on an island by yourself a little bit too long. And you need to come on in. But getting back to the scripture. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Once we recognize, as long as he's here, the Holy Ghost is on in the inside of us. My husband preached it on Sunday. The Spirit of the Lord is on the inside of us, who is the light. Therefore, when the light is on the inside of us, we too are the light that is shining out in the darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. We heard that song being sung, and it's true. But when the light he has decided to live on the inside of us, then we become the light of the world. We are the answer to the lost. We are the answer to the broken. We are the answer to the bruised. We are the answer to those who can't find the way. We are the answer to those who are sick. We are the answer to those who are mentally disturbed. We are the answer, amen, to those ministries who have been seeking after a move of God. We are the answer. And yet, at the same time, we're the answer to the gates of hell. When they try to rise up and bring all kind of falsehood, we are the answer to bring in truth. I was praying this morning, and I, in my prayer before the Lord, and I said, God, I've been reading the book of, or the books of the whole New Testament, and just kind of reading over what the disciples did. And I'm in the book of Acts at this moment when Paul is now, you know, going rare form into his ministry. And one of the things that I noticed about Paul is that no matter what, Paul was willing to die for the sake of the gospel. He was willing to go all the way, knew that he was going. When Jesus spoke to him and said, or the Holy Spirit spoke to him and let him know, once you go back to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen. Yes, you're going to minister to him. Yes, you know, my name is going to be lifted up, but you're not going to make it back. You're not going to travel no more. You're going to be, this will be your last, this is it. And yet Paul knew within himself, he said, I must go. And no matter who came and tried to persuade him or dissuade him from going, he said, even though when they said, well, the Lord is saying, but I must go. And for some, I said, God, I want that same drive that Paul had to say, I must go. Because whenever he decides to come, we need to be ready. Because it's going to come to, and I'm not trying to put fear in nobody's heart. I'm trying to speak, you know, fear and death, doom, and destruction. But it is coming, and it's already happening where government is already starting to take over. We're not going to be able to move. People are going to be almost prisoners in their own home if you don't agree with certain belief systems. If you are different, then you're going to be ostracized. You're going to be put away. You're going to be, all of a sudden, they're no longer here. Well, they were here yesterday. Don't ask no questions. They're no longer here. We'll tell you what to believe. We'll tell you what to think. It's already starting. When you look on the news, they tell you what you're going to, they tell you what to believe. They tell you who to vote for. They tell you what side and how intense they want you to do it, or how intense they want you to feel it. They've already started. And then after they get off of what they've already planned to do, then all of a sudden the truth leaks out. But by that time, it's already over. Everything is already done. We've already been deceived and already been, you know, swayed around and turned in a different direction. And yet, anybody that's not speaking what we want to hear will follow them to the grave. So those who stand up and say, this is wrong, this isn't God, we're like, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. You want to be too deep. Oh, you want to be too judgmental. But the one that rises up and says, follow me, for God lives here, and look at the wealth, and look at the riches, and look at the favor. Ooh, that's him. Let's go. So we miss out on what God has truly called us to do, the purpose he's called us to be in. I'm not done, but I'm going to stop. Come on, let us pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I give you glory. Give your name praise and honor. I'm thankful unto you for all that you have done. God, strengthen us. Help us to glorify you in the earth. Help us to recognize that we must work the work while it is yet day. Help us to come into the full knowledge of who you called us to be. Thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're not saved, please pray this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries are praying for you, that God will lead you to a Bible-believing and teaching ministry that's going to train you and birth you and mature you in the things of the kingdom. Listen, go to my website, www.ctkr.org. Amen. Let us hear from you. Amen. What God is doing in your life. If you need someone to pray, touch and agree with you in prayer, go ahead and go to the Contact Us page once again on our website. Leave your prayer request, and we will be praying for you. I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Amen. And I will see you next week for another episode of Prophetic Atmosphere. But please do join us on Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m., for Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for another word being delivered by my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Love you dearly. Have a wonderful night.